Welcome to the Jeep Dive. Now today, we're doing something really targeted, just for you. We are diving deep into the recap from your recent Indonesian language class. This isn't just about, you know, glancing over a vocab list. It's really about taking those notes and turning them into real, practical fluency that sticks.
Exactly.
We've got the whole range from your materials, some basic nouns, those delicious food terms, all the way to the really crucial bits, the conversational glue that helps you sound natural. So our mission today is to really get a handle on the context and the application, not just what the words mean, but how they actually work together in everyday Indonesian life. Well, let's unpack this list.
Yeah, and what's really interesting here is how practical this material is. It seems very focused on immediate conversation, food, daily stuff, dealing with the weather. So for you, the learner, this is all about getting that conversational ability up and running quickly. We're looking past just definitions to the so what. Like, when do you actually use these words, especially those connectors that tie everything together?
Okay, so I noticed the source material kicks off where, let's face it, a lot of good cultural chats begin in the kitchen. We can sort of think of this first bit as the ingredients for conversation. Let's revisit those basic building blocks you covered.
Right. You've got the absolute staples, tepung and telur, flour and egg. Simple enough. But the key thing, I think, is how fast the source moves from just those nouns to the mixture, adonan, and then bam, straight into specific, really popular dishes. That tells you the focus isn't just general cooking terms. It's about what people actually talk about, what's relevant locally.
That quick jump is a really good insight. So instead of getting bogged down in, I don't know, obscure spices maybe, you leap right to things you'd order or discuss. Like you specifically flagged ayam geprek, that ubiquitous smashed chicken dish.
Yeah, exactly. And then pairing it with something very specific like sambal kamangi, that basil chili sauce. If you think about the big picture, it strongly suggests that talking about meals, specific local tastes, that's a high priority for daily conversation in Indonesian. It makes these terms really powerful memory anchors.
Right. It's hard to forget ayam geprek once you've experienced it, I imagine.
Definitely not.
Okay, so just like ingredients build a meal, we need descriptive words to build sentences, right?
Yeah.
Let's shift from the food you eat to how you describe people, appearance specifically.
And the material seems to zero in on hair, which makes sense. It's visual. It applies to everyone. You covered the main ones. Botak for bald, keratin for curly hair.
And luris for straight.
Yeah.
Got it. Covers the basics.
Pretty much the whole range there. Yeah.
I did notice you also included terms for scale, which kind of enrich those basic descriptions. Things like banyak ines, meaning many types.
Right.
And sangat panjang, very long. Those little adjectives and adverbs, they're vital for adding any kind of depth, aren't they?
They really are. But, you know, this brings up a good point. Did the class touch on whether these descriptors carry any, like, cultural nuance, or are they just purely technical descriptions?
Good question.
Sometimes language resources can oversimplify, you know? Like, is there an implication when you use botak versus keriting? Or is it just stating a fact? The source doesn't seem to go there. But that's the kind of layer you'd want to be aware of as you get more advanced.
That's a really important point. Always remember that vocabulary is just the first layer. But here's where I think it gets really interesting for making things stick in your memory. The source material includes this very specific personal phrase. Aku sinta rambutku. I love my hair.
Yeah.
Why flag that particular phrase? You know, I think it grounds that abstract descriptive vocabulary in something personal, something felt.
Absolutely.
It makes that phrase and the words in it, like rambutku stick, way better than just trying to memorize botak on its own. That link to immediate personal use seems key to what you're learning.
Totally agree. It connects the dots.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving from how you look, let's shift to conditions, environmental conditions, even emotional ones. These can really shape your day and what you talk about. And the big context here, as your notes clearly show, is the musim hujan, the rainy season.
Right. And that context immediately brings up those simple but, well, vital opposites. Kering for dry and basah for wet. You'd be using those constantly, I imagine, talking about laundry or roads or just yourself.
Constantly. And that leads straight into what becomes, let's be honest, a bit of a daily headache during those wet months. Your notes picked up on some very specific, almost slightly funny vocabulary related to just surviving the rain. We're talking pakaian dalam, okay? Underwear and that really essential item, selana ganti, backup pants.
Backup pants, yeah.
And the verb you absolutely need for hauling all this extra stuff around is membawa, to bring.
Okay, so this whole picture, riding a motorbike, sudden downpour, carrying extra clothes, it leads us perfectly to two of the most impactful words, I think, in your notes. The first one is rebat. You define this as too much effort or complicated.
Yes, and rebat is such a great word because it really captures a feeling, almost a cultural sentiment. It's not just inconvenient. It's that specific kind of hassle, the complexity of navigating daily life when things just aren't efficient because of the conditions. When you use rebat, you're tapping into a shared understanding of that annoyance.
Okay, so if rebat is high effort, the next term kind of ramps up the feeling to pure misery. Meniksa, which means torture.
Wow, okay.
And the phrase used was itu meniksa. It's torture. Apparently used quite emphatically about riding a motorbike during the rainy season.
That really paints a picture.
It does. And it shows the language is rich enough to capture not just, you know, being wet, but the actual emotional drain of it all.
Yeah.
Knowing these specific words lets you share those frustrations much more naturally.
Definitely adds color. Okay, let's quickly move from those external environmental things to internal states, maybe feelings and manners.
Mm-hmm.
We saw ga in nakpadam, that really useful phrase for feeling a bit under the weather.
Mm-hmm. Always useful.
And then the behavioral terms. Berberlaku, just meaning to behave, and berperlaku, bake, to behave well. And the positive descriptor that goes with that is rama, meaning friendly. Pretty crucial for talking about people and social stuff.
Okay, now we get to what I think is the real core for conversational skill, the glue.
Yeah.
These functional words, the connectors and adverbs, these are the things that take you from just listing words to actually having a flowing conversation.
Absolutely critical.
You flag two main connectors for cause and effect, and getting the difference right seems essential. First one is sonya. This means because, right, introducing the reason why.
Exactly. It explains something that came before. And its partner in crime, basically, completing that logical chain, is makanya, translates roughly as that's why or so. It connects the cause you just mentioned, maybe using sonya, to the result or the conclusion. They really work as a pair.
Mm-hmm.
You often need both in a conversation to fully explain something and sound natural while doing it. Using them correctly really cements your understanding.
Okay, let's maybe try to illustrate that difference, because nailing this down feels important for deeper learning. So if you say, I'm bringing Solana Ganti backup pants.
Right.
Sonya might rain. You're giving the reason after the statement.
No, wait. Sonya introduces the reason for a preceding statement. So it'd be more like, it might rain, Sonya. It's the rainy season. Or I'm bringing backup pants, Sonya. It might rain. Yes, you introduce the reason.
Okay, got it. So the reason follows Sonya. I'm bringing backup pants, Sonya. It might rain.
Exactly. And then Makanya links cause to effect. It might rain, Makanya. I'm bringing backup pants.
Ah. Okay, so Anya looks backward for the reason. Makanya points forward to the result. Got it.
Precisely. Then you have those super useful, simple words that just feel very native, like ajaja, which basically just means only or just.
Right, adds that casual touch.
Yeah, and katakanla, literally, let's say, used all the time for setting up a hypothetical situation or an example. Using katakanla makes you sound much more comfortable with the language pretty quickly.
That's a good tip. And finally, just quickly reviewing those little expressions for agreement and asking questions, the stuff that fills out basic chats. We have the straightforward aku setuju, agree, and aku harap, I hope. Very direct.
Mm-hmm.
And that super common informal question you'll hear all the time, angapain. Basically, what did you do or what are you up to?
Essential for casual conversation.
Yeah. It's fascinating how these tiny little words are basically the grease that makes the conversation gears turn smoothly. You
know? Absolutely. They're small but mighty.
All right. Let's wrap things up with the practical stuff needed for just navigating daily life, money, housing, and time terms.
Yeah. Moving into the real nuts and bolts. You learned sewa, which is rent. Pretty basic. And then that crucial housing term, especially if you're near a university or in a city.
Koskostan.
Right. The boarding house concept.
Exactly. A boarding house or maybe a shared living space, often rented out room by room, typically to students or young workers. Knowing the difference between just soa ruma, renting a house, and finding a koskostan is really practical. Definitely sounds important for actual living situations. Okay, and on the time front, we covered functional things like jam makan siang for lunchtime.
Straightforward.
And the general connector, setelah, meaning after.
Yeah, after. But what's really interesting in this section are those two very specific cultural time markers. They really anchor the language in the local calendar. You noted setelah nyepi, meaning after the Balinese day of silence.
Ah, okay. Very specific.
Very specific. And malam takbiran, which is the eve of Eid al-Fitr. Using markers like these shows, you're tuned into the local rhythm. Not just relying on generic words like tomorrow, it signals a deeper connection.
That makes a lot of sense. It shows you're part of the context. Okay, so pulling this all together, what does this really mean for you as you're reviewing for your class? We've gone from basic flour and eggs all the way to things being profoundly ribet or even manixa, torturous.
Quite the range.
To really make this knowledge stick, we need to see this vocabulary working together in context, in those complete phrases you noted down.
Exactly. Let's just say those key summary phrases out loud, kind of feeling the natural flow. They show how all these different pieces we've talked about actually combine. The first one, hari ini akan kayak biasanya. Today will be like usual. Simple. Sets a baseline.
Okay. Then the next one, showing a plan and using a time marker. Aku pikir aku akan pergi ke gym selama jam makan siang. I think I will go to the gym during lunchtime.
See how smooth that sounds.
Ah.
And finally, bringing in that personal touch, linking back to our hair discussion. Aku tidak punya banyak untuk bilang, tapi aku cinta rambutku hari ini. I don't have much to say, but I love my hair today. These sentences really demonstrate that you now have the tools for these different kinds of conversations. Basic, personal, logistical.
That's a really solid overview. So for you, the listener, the clear next step here is active use. Try playing with those sentences. Swap out gym for kaskastan, change jam makan siang to acetela nebi. Mix and match. Use this stuff actively and you really won't lose it.
That's the key. And here's a final little challenge for you, something to mull over to test your immediate application skills. We know dealing with the musim hujan can be maniksa, right? Torture. So how would you use a combination of solanya and ribet to explain to a friend why you absolutely need to bring solana ganti, those backup pants? Think about weaving those functional words like solanya with those high-impact concepts like ribet and maniksa. That's where you really start to master this new vocabulary.